Please rise. The portion of scripture that we turn our hearts, our lives, and our minds to this morning is recorded for us in Paul's letter to the Galatians. Today we'll look at chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. This is the word of our God. Please be seated. Dear fellow worshipers of the Christ Child, plans. Have you ever made plans that simply had to be changed? Perhaps you planned out your family's vacation, but then someone in the family became ill, or someone in the family was injured, and now you had to change your plans. Perhaps you entered college anticipating and planning that you would take certain courses because you planned to enter into a certain career. But once you started taking those courses, you realized this just isn't going to work. And so you had to change your career plans. Perhaps you had your retirement funds invested in a certain company or in a certain group of funds, planning on retiring at this specific age. But then the company goes bankrupt, or the stock market takes a dive, and you have to change your retirement plans. Plans. The plans that you and I make, my friends, all too often end up getting changed. Sometimes our plans change because we change. And sometimes our plans change because of things that are completely out of our control. As you and I gather together today to continue our celebration of Christmas, we are going to focus on a portion of scripture that I have long been fascinated by. Here in Galatians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul reminds us that Christmas did not just happen. No, rather, here in Galatians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul reminds us that Christmas has always been a part of God's perfect plan. Today, as we study this text, I would like to highlight three steps in God's perfect plan. Now, whenever we are making plans, the first step that we need to take is to prepare, isn't it? You can't just wake up one morning and decide that instead of going to work or instead of going to school, you're just going to take a trip across the country. It doesn't work that way. You have to prepare for something like that. In a far greater way, the Apostle Paul reminds us that the first step in God's perfect plan did indeed center on preparation. That preparation is found in the opening words of our text. But when the time had fully come, or as many of us learned it, but when the fullness of time had come. Why was the Christ born? Approximately 2,000 years ago. Why not earlier? Why not later? The answer to those questions is due to the fact that the Lord our God had a plan. And to guarantee that his plan would indeed succeed, God saw to it that absolutely everything that was necessary was perfectly in place where and when it needed to be. In short, the Lord God of heaven and earth guided and directed the history of this world so that this world was prepared for Christmas. But let's take a moment to just drill down a little bit here. Sometimes in a moment of weakness, or sometimes simply because of short-sightedness, we might think that it would have been better if Jesus had been born in more modern times, when there is easy communication all across the world. We have access to the World Wide Web. We can text and tweet and Snapchat with ease. Personally, I do not even want to begin to imagine what people today would post on Facebook if John the Baptist called them to repent of their sins and change their sinful lifestyle. Personally, I don't even want to begin to imagine what the Pharisees and the experts in the law might have tweeted when Jesus judged them for their false doctrine and for their hypocrisy. Personally, I don't want to even begin to imagine a whole crowd of people suddenly having their cell phones out as Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. No, my friends. The God of heaven knew exactly what he was doing. The God of heaven knew exactly what needed to take place when, so that the time was right for the Christ to be born. The fullness of time. When the fullness of time had come. The Greek word that's translated here as fullness can also be translated as completeness. Perhaps an easy way to remember what the Holy Spirit is emphasizing here is to think of an elaborate jigsaw puzzle that you have been working on for quite a long time. Each and every single piece of that puzzle has to fit in exactly the right spot. As more and more pieces of the puzzle are put into place, the picture becomes more and more clear. But you cannot say that the puzzle is done. You cannot say that the puzzle is finished. You cannot say that the puzzle is complete until that very last piece is carefully put into place. How does that picture tie in with God's perfect plan? How does that picture tie in with Christmas? We honestly don't have enough time to answer that question completely this morning, so let me highlight just a few things. One of the ways in which God prepared this world for Christmas was to allow the Roman Empire to gain control of the Mediterranean world. As the Roman Empire marched steadily east, it brought with it a number of things that prepared this world for Christmas. For example, there was the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. Both on land and on sea, Rome imposed law and order all across her empire. And in order to help enforce that peace, in order to help enforce law and order in the empire, the Romans built roads all over the empire. Those roads enabled the Roman legions, the most powerful fighting force of that day and age, it enabled the Roman legions to go anywhere where there was unrest in any part of the empire with relative speed and easiness. Because of the Pax Romana, and because of all of those roads, God's people could travel all over the empire proclaiming the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because of the Pax Romana, because of those roads, Mary, Joseph, and the Christ child could travel to Egypt and back. The Lord and his disciples could travel all over the Middle East and the area of Israel. And then the Christian missionaries could use those roads to travel across the land and carry the message of the gospel of Jesus to others. Another major part of God's preparation for Christmas centers on something that we might at first think to be rather odd and strange. One might anticipate that the official language of the Roman Empire would be Latin, but not so. Rome was so enamored by the Greek culture that the Greek language was the universal language all across the empire. This meant that whenever individual letters were written to Christian congregations or to Christian individuals, those letters could be read and shared with others because it was written in a language that people could read and understand. It was written in Greek. That was one of the major portions of God's perfect plan to prepare this world for Christmas. The second step in carrying out any good plan is to determine who is going to do it. Who is going to carry that plan to completion? For God's perfect plan, there was only one person who could do this. Paul writes, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, the only person who could carry God's perfect plan to completion was the Son of God himself. The true Son of God had to become the true Son of Man, because God's perfect plan centered on one thing, my friends. That one thing is found in Paul's words, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law. Since God requires holiness and perfection from anyone and everyone who wants to live with him in his heavenly home, and since you and I absolutely cannot live a holy and perfect life in thought, in word, in deed, God's perfect plan centered on sending his own son into this world so that he could live that perfect life for us. At the same time, God requires that each and every single sin be paid for in full. Since you and I cannot even begin to pay for even one of our sins, much less all of our sins, God's perfect plan centered on sending his own son into this world so that he could pay the entire debt of our sins for us. Through Jesus' perfect life and through Jesus' innocent suffering and death, God's perfect plan was brought to completion. It is finished, our Savior says from the cross. That means that you and I are redeemed. So step one of God's perfect plan was to make sure that everything that was necessary was perfectly in place so that this world was prepared for Christmas. Step two of God's perfect plan was to send his very own son into this world to carry that plan to completion. What is step three of God's perfect plan? Step three is found in the words that we might receive the full rights of sons. Step three of God's perfect plan was to take everything that Jesus accomplished and give it to you as a gift, absolutely free of charge. When we were brought to faith in Jesus as our personal Savior from sin, through the power of the Holy Spirit working in word and sacrament, we were adopted by the Heavenly Father to be his own dearly beloved children. That is the goal of God's perfect plan, my friends. As God's adopted children, we now have rights. And here in our text, the Apostle Paul emphasizes two of those rights. First, Paul says, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. The word Abba was a word that was oftentimes the very first word that a very young child learned in reference to their father. Today, the word Abba would probably be akin to a child saying, Daddy. The word Abba is found only three times on the pages of the New Testament scriptures. Here in Galatians chapter 4, in Romans chapter 8, and then in Mark chapter 14, where we hear Jesus say in the Garden of Gethsemane, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Think about what that means for you, my friends. The goal of God's perfect plan was to give you the right to call the Almighty Creator of the universe, Abba, Father. The goal of God's perfect plan was to give you the right to address the God of heaven using the very same close personal name that Jesus himself used, Abba, Father. The goal of God's perfect plan was to give you the right to address the one and only living God with that close, friendly, and endearing name, Daddy. What an amazing privilege. What an awesome right that God has given to you and to me. At any time and for any reason, we can approach the one and only living God and say to him, Abba, Father. And he will look at us and say, yes, my child, what do you need? The second rite that Paul emphasizes here in our text is found in the closing words of our text. He writes, "So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir." Once again, it's so very difficult for us to wrap our limited minds around the truth that Paul is proclaiming to us here. Since by nature, we are slaves to sin, whether it's the sin of idolatry or the sin of greed or the sin of pride or the sin of lust or whatever else that whole host of sins might be. Since by nature, we are slaves to sin. And since by nature, our automatic default setting is to rebel against the Almighty. The goal of God's perfect plan was to free you from your slavery to sin, adopt you to be his own dearly beloved child, so that you would have the right of inheritance. And what will you inherit as a dearly beloved child of God? You will inherit nothing less than the kingdom of heaven itself, the streets of gold, the gates of pearl, joy, happiness, perfection, beyond imagination. It is yours, my friends. This is what you will inherit as an adopted child of God. Why? Because you're so good? Because this is what you deserve to receive from the one and only living God? Not at all. This is what you will receive, inherit from your heavenly Father, because that's the goal of God's perfect plan for you. Plans. When it comes to the plans that you and I make, it's always possible that our plans will have to be changed. There are just so many things that are completely out of our control. There are so many things that we fail to foresee. Thankfully, our eternity is not in any way dependent on what we do or the plans that we make. No, rather, our eternity is completely dependent on God's perfect plan for us. Since God himself made sure that all of the things that were necessary were perfectly in place, exactly where and when they needed to be, and since God himself sent his very own Son into this world to carry that plan to completion, you and I now have the undeserved privilege of enjoying the goal of God's perfect plan, the right to call the one and only living God, Abba, Father, and the right to inherit our Heavenly Father's kingdom. Surely, God's perfect plan easily leads each and every one of us to say, "To God be the glory. Amen."